Only the things that I do for the Lord are going to live beyond this life. Everything else is going to pass away. The workaholic might be remembered for a little while, but pretty soon forgotten. However, the person who serves the purposes of the Lord and the power of Christ will do things that outlive him or her. And that's what we desire. Living for Christ is certainly the power that God wants us to demonstrate in our lives. Walking in God's will. There are a lot of people who struggle with God's will when it's very plainly stated in the Word of God. And when you fulfill the general requirements of God's Word, then you can look for the specific aspects of the will of God for you. Because God, obviously, has a plan for you. It's hard to imagine that your fingerprints are unique. 7 billion people on the earth today? Certainly. Probability and statistics would say, you're not unique. There's somebody like you. Not true. Likewise, with snowflakes, there aren't two alike. They're cold, they're wet, that's true, but the pattern is different. Hard to imagine. But also good to keep in mind, the Lord has a plan for you. And salvation, obviously, is the major step that you have to take, that you get to take. Praise God. And the message from Acts chapter 2 is so plain. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Point to yourself and say, that means me. I get to. Praise God. I get to have the name above every name. I get to have my sins remitted in that wonderful name, the name of Jesus. Praise God. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. What an incredible benefit. What an amazing experience that we can have. And we keep that up to date because being born again of the water and of the Spirit, like Jesus taught and the disciples fulfilled, being born again means there's going to be new life that comes along with it. Amen. Birth is followed by decades of life. And certainly the Lord desires to step into that realm. Okay, after we've fulfilled the will of God in that measure, in those respects, then the will of God comes into play for you specifically. And that's what we desire, to walk in the Spirit and to determine God's going to have His way in our lives. Amen. And your witness, your opportunities to share the Word of God is certainly vital. And they said, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. They really should have said they've turned it downside up, because they got it right. Amen. And the power of God is there. Now, household, in the book of Acts, household is mentioned in several instances. Can you remember, particularly in salvation, where was household mentioned? And name the individual. Cornelius and his household. And probably some of his soldiers, too, because he was a captain, a leader of 100 soldiers. That's why they're called centurion. Century, 100. All right? Lydia in Acts 16, down by the river, and prayer meetings. And then she gladly received the message that Paul and Silas preached. Brother Wade? The jailer. The jailer and his household after midnight. Man, you talk about establishing priorities. There was no, we're going to wait till morning. No, we're going to take care of it now. And his household. Oh, excellent. All of these households are to be impacted. And thank God we can make sure our household is taken care of as well. Paul mentioned his own house to Timothy a couple of times. You know, be in charge of your own house. Provide for your own house. He said it, his own house. And we recognize all the physical needs, all the spiritual needs, all the emotional needs, all the intellectual needs, and certainly everything that God would intend is what to be taken care of. Galatians 6 and 2 in our text talks about the need to bear one another's burdens. Thank God that we're able to do that because we've been strengthened by the Lord, and somebody encounters a devastating event in their life, a hardship, a difficulty, a problem, whatever it may be. Thank God, brothers and sisters come alongside and bear one another's burdens. What an opportunity to do the work of the Lord and see the hand of God at work as we live according to God's word. And not become weary in well-doing. It's sometimes you do get weary. And the opportunities to do good, I guess that's where the do-gooder, kind of a slam, I guess people say, oh, you're a do-gooder. Yeah, I am. Or at least I try. To do good to all men, especially to them who are of the household of faith. Hey, there's household again. The household of faith. Praise God. And so Paul, demonstrating this is what should be done. This is how you demonstrate your love. In fact, we are emphasizing this aspect of disciple and being disciples, making disciples, how important. What did Jesus say that all men would know you're his disciples? By what?
Love one another.
Love one another. Wow. That, you know, you stop and think about it, and wouldn't miracles, wouldn't power, wouldn't doctrine be in place of that? This is how men are going to know. Well, what the Lord says is you demonstrate love. And that love, obviously, is going to compel you to share a message of truth and your testimony and your witness. And your life and your lips got to match in terms of, you know, living what you say. And that's how it's to be convincing, is to show that God's power is in place in a great way. Galatians 1, or 6 and 1, rather, he said, restore. I'm glad God is a God of restoration. Amen. I'm glad he's the resurrector. Praise God. He's the one who can bring the strength of God into our lives to overcome a fault. We are overtaken in a fault, but we can overcome a fault by those who come alongside and help us, and the restoration process takes place. Barnabas was one who had that kind of heart, that kind of desire. And he vouched for Saul of Tarsus, and he helped restore Mark, and where Paul would later on say, he's profitable to me for the ministry. There's been a change. There's been a turn. There's been a restoration. Praise God. So the power that's there is awesome when we let God move and work through us, and the opportunities that are given for restoration. And being a restorer requires maturity and humility and empathy and grace and obviously love. By this shall all men know you're my disciples You have love one for another. Now, does love just ignore situations that are detrimental or dangerous? No, our boys used to scoot around on their tummies like little seals. And the apartment in Hoonah sloped down a little bit from the living room into the kitchen. So they had their own little slide-like thing. And they couldn't quite get open the cupboard doors and move their head. They didn't get that for a while. It was bang, bang, bang. But did we allow them to get under the sink where the cleaning material was? Because you're not supposed to tell them no. You're not supposed to restrict their growth and their curiosity. When you're opening the door, move your head. Reach in and grab the Drano. No. How dumb. But yet, there are people who think that love takes off the limits. That love removes the discipline. No, the Lord used disciple and love in the same statement. So obviously, we got to work it the way God wants us to work it. Amen. And make sure that we're sharing truth in love. In fact, that's how Paul said it, didn't he, to the Ephesians. Speak the truth in love. And praise God, that's what we can determine to do in our lives. Where's that, Brother Greg? Okay. Book of Ephesians, anyway. Speak the truth in love. So the body of Christ is what we join, what we become a part of. And that body, as we know, 1 Corinthians 12, many parts, many functions, many works. The apostle uses the physical body to describe how the church is to dwell in unity and how there are gifts and callings and abilities and so on within the body, that there should be no schism in the body. 1 Corinthians 12 and 25. The members should have the same care one for another. Now, it's interesting to look, if you have a concordance, and you probably do, in the back of your Bible or on your phone or iPad or whatever, and you look up that term another, and in the New Testament it's there over and over and over, and care one for another obviously is the will of God and his direction for us as well, so that there will be no division, there'll be no discord, there'll be no disharmony. Those are other other translations of that word. We don't understand what schism is. Well, okay, it means disunity. It means disharmony. It means division. So, the body is to be together. And it operates in the manner that God would have it to. And it's incredible. And you think about, no wonder David said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And he didn't even have the medical knowledge or technology available today. You indeed are incredible and unique and wonderful. DNA is just amazing. All of the aspects that you can study and learn about the human body. No wonder the church is such a unique entity in the will of God, in the plan of God. Thank the Lord that we can be a part of the church and love one another. So the impact that we can make on the world, the opportunity to witness to others is certainly what the Lord intended. Acts 1 and 8, when the power of the Spirit was being promised again. And it's interesting how he emphasized in those 40 days after his resurrection, he emphasized the infilling of the Spirit several times. He said, you're going to be endued with power from on high. He breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. He told them, you shall receive power after that. The Holy Ghost has come upon you. And that emphasis, obviously, was to prepare them and put a desire in them to receive it. And praise God, they did. Powerfully, wonderfully, a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, cloven tongues like as a fire. They began to speak in other tongues. God, in his sensational power, brought forth that work. And thank God, it's still falling. It's still happening. God's still pouring it out. And the blessing of the Lord can come. Now notice, he said, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. There was a ripple effect that was to happen. There was no one or no place excluded. Everyone was to have the impact of the Spirit of God. Jerusalem being the city and the local church, if you will, and that power to be displayed and be a blessing to us right here. And we reach out to the city. And then the region, Judea. Judea being a Palestinian territory. And the opportunities to share the scripture in that region. And they certainly did that as God directed them and the power of the Lord. We have a district today, Alaska Yukon. And we were up at a She's for Christ rally on Friday night in Anchorage and met together with some other pastors and youth workers and launched the She's for Christ effort for this year, and it was exciting, amazing reports. The incredible thing that came out of it, well, a number of things, and tremendous preaching and vision casting and so on, but I was astounded to learn that we had a couple of our young people earn $1,000, right? AJ and Aubrey. And they were called the Real McCoy. Do you know that there's a young lady that made or earned or collected $20,000? I was shocked. $20,000? One young person? And that's what they did. Praise God. And then some of you remember or know Sister Stacy. Sister Stacy is just a fireball. And she testified about some of the early fundraising techniques. That she didn't clear it with the youth pastor. She didn't know that you weren't supposed to do this. But what she did was went to businesses and got donations of items, and got about $2,000 worth of donations. It's amazing. And then she sold raffle tickets for $10 each. We don't believe in gambling. I think the Lord used those dollars. Anyway, but see, We work with Mother's Memorial, we work with Christmas for Christ and Christmas time, and then in the summertime we support our youth with She's for Christ. All of these efforts are like the region, the district. We support that. Amen. And then Samaria, the different political and religious and cultural things that they had to deal with back then. Jesus didn't buy into the hostility that was going on there. He didn't practice that. He didn't approve it. He went to Samaria purposely went to Samaria to minister to the woman at the well in John chapter 4. He talked about a leper who was healed, and he came back, and it was a Samaritan. And then he told about a good Samaritan. And that must have really dug deep in the feelings of the Pharisees and so on, because he pointed out the wounded man lay there in the road, and the priest went on one side, and the Levite went on one side, the other side, but the Samaritan, oh, that must have really dug under their skin. But the Lord was trying to remove that hostility, because you've got to reach everybody. Amen. You've got to reach everybody. Praise God. And then the uttermost part of the earth. The uttermost. Praise God. And we saw a slideshow that Ben Eichard sent. And the vehicle, you know, the She's for Christ, the vehicle that is provided to missionaries, and the vehicle that Brother Eichard drove, and how, my goodness, I didn't count them up, but there was easily over a dozen people that rode in the back of that Ford Ranger. Hey, you got a missionary vehicle. And they, easily that number that was transported to church in their missionary vehicle. So we support those efforts because of how great the impact is, and how our gifts, our talents, our abilities, our resources, our offerings, all of this fits together for the opportunity to impact on the other side of the world. Amen. And God's power being so great and so tremendous. Romans 12 and 1. Paul is beseeching us. And that's his strong language. That's his strong plea. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God. And this was his plea. He wanted us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. And that's a conundrum. That's you know, how in the world a sacrifice is killed. How can you be a living sacrifice? Well, that's exactly what he intended, for you to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is just reasonable for you to do. Praise God. And I'm thankful that we can determine in our minds and in our hearts, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make sure my body, as well as my spirit, my heart, is holy before the Lord. The fashions of this world, the Bible says, pass away. I wish a bunch of them would pass away right now. Dear Lord, Fifth Avenue or Paris or whoever it is says, this is the way you're supposed to dress. This is the way you're supposed to look. This is what's in. This is what's chic, or what, however you want to describe it. No, we're not going to follow those guidelines. We're going to do what the Word of God says. Modest apparel. Amen. Modest in both price and in covering, because that's what pleases God. We're not trying to please society. We're not trying to please, you know, the crowd and cultural directions and so on. No, we're pleasing the Lord. He's God. We have an opportunity to do that, and God's power is great. My sister, before she passed, shared this instance with me. She used to be the city clerk in Hoonah, and she knew the mayor and the city manager, of course, and all of them that worked. And one time, the city manager went out to the airport to pick up someone who came to town to help work with grants and so on. And uh, he he picked her up and were driving back to the city office, and she commented, "A good friend of mine used to live here. He's been gone a long time now from here, but he used to be here." And the city manager said, "Mitch Glover?" And she said, "Yeah." Now, how did he make that connection? How did he recognize she goes to the same church that Mitch Glover went to? And it's Misty Hall, by the way, in Palmer. And if you were to see Misty Hall right now, she'd be dressed modestly. Her hair is long. And she looks pleasing to the Lord. And I thought that was unique that my sister would share that with me, because obviously she was recognizing it as well. Praise God. And I'm glad the Lord recognized her hunger and her heart and blessed her in such a tremendous way. Praise God. So connections. Connections need to be made. You're a disciple, it's going to show. People are going to be able to make a connection that you're not just a disciple to some weird cult and some commune or something like that. No, you're connected to God and His Word. Praise God. And you're connected to the power of the kingdom. Because when you pray, things happen. Not because you prayed, but you connected with the one who has the power. Praise God. And you make that impact. And your witness is strong. Your witness is there. And you use those opportunities. Because that opportunity may only come once. And like Brother Josh Herring said, trust me, the devil is not going to encourage you to witness to someone. If you're feeling a nudge to witness from someone, it's not coming from the devil. It's coming from the Lord. The devil's not trying to say, "Oh, you're really going to embarrass yourself. Go ahead and witness. Go ahead and testify about miracles that happen." No, he's not. He's going to try to intimidate you, try to make you fearful, try to make you back up. The Lord, with His nudge and the move of His Spirit, the encouragement of the Holy Ghost, is going to help you move into that realm of God and His power. Praise God. I'm thankful that twice the reference that Peter quoted in Acts chapter 2, Joel 2, God said, "I'm going to pour out my Spirit." He said it twice, pour out. Praise God. And I suppose you can fill a thimble with water and pour it out. But that's just a few drops. When we think of pour, we think of a pitcher or a bucket or a barrel. In other words, abundance. God wants to pour it out. And thank God that's what we receive in His blessing and in His power. Then, praise God, the witness can likewise be poured out, and the abundance be demonstrated. And whosoever, I'm thankful that the Lord used that in His teaching, whosoever will, let him come. Praise God. And whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Praise God. The apostles continued that message. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. And we know what that means. We know it means calling on His name in baptism. It means calling on His name for the infilling of His Spirit. Because that's what the apostles did. I'm not adding to the Word of God. No, you read the passage there. Verse 21 of chapter 2, book of Acts, and then you go right on to verse 39, and then how 3,000 were added to the 120, initially that were in the upper room? Obviously, the abundance is there. And God's plan and God's will is designed to fulfill it to that degree. And that's why earlier we talked about households. And in Acts chapter 8, Samaria, the whole city was impacted. They saw the miracles. They heard the teaching of Jesus being Christ. They were baptized in a name twice. It says 12 and 16 of Acts chapter 8. It's emphasized twice. They were baptized in the name of Jesus. They hadn't received the Spirit yet. The apostles believe in that? Yes, they did. Because Jesus said, be born of the water and of the Spirit. And because they experienced it, water and Spirit. So, they were looking for water and Spirit for the city of Samaria. And Philip sent to Jerusalem, said, send Peter and John. Peter and John came. And oh my, powerful, supernatural things that took place. And likewise in chapter 10 with Cornelius, and chapter 19 with the Ephesian believers, followers of John the Baptist, they likewise received his name and his Spirit, baptism in his name, being filled with the Holy Ghost, because the witness continued. Praise God. And God's power came in an incredible way. And thank the Lord, it continues in that manner. And with every opportunity that we take to share the Word of God. I had an interesting phone call Friday morning. Didn't recognize the number that came up. And sometimes it's just somebody else asking for a donation or whatever. And I had shaving cream on my face, and I thought, well, I better answer it. Hello? And here's this voice on the other end of my first grade teacher, Carol Hembry. What a shock. But here again. Now, Carol and her husband, Jim. Jim was a high school teacher. He taught me algebra and geometry. And so here they are down in Arkansas. And Carol said she's walking in their neighborhood, and she saw a lady and asked her, what church do you go to? And Pentecostal church. And that's how she was able to get my number and so on. But see, she recognized, she made the connection. Now, Carol was baptized in Jesus' name. Their oldest son, Jim, they had three boys. Their oldest son, Jim, we called him Little Jim because his dad's name was Jim also. Little Jim received the Holy Ghost at camp meeting. And that was in 1973 when we met up in Chugiak at the Boy Scout camp. And there was about 100 of us making as much noise as we could. Now youth camp is way more than that whole family camp. But Little Jim, there at the altar praying, and we're all praying with him, and man, he is getting blessed from the Lord. And finally, a little white-haired lady came up and put her arm around him, prayed with him, and pretty soon he's speaking in tongues. Praise God. Sister French, with just her connection from God. Amen. And that power of the Lord. But Carol must have been remembering that. And she wanted to call. She wanted to talk. Just surprised me completely. But you never know when those connections are going to click and come back again. Now, unfortunately, her husband has Alzheimer's now, and And she put him on the phone, and he asked me the same question several times. It's just so intriguing, so unique to have that opportunity to visit again and ask about Jim and so on. God help us. Every opportunity, every situation to work with the power of God and to let the Lord be demonstrating in our lives with his power and with his blessing. Praise God, because you never know how the Lord's going to do that work. And that was, goodness, how many years ago? 1973. There wasn't even a Sister Glover then. But God did a work. Praise God. Amen. We'll keep praying for the Wades. We're so thankful that they're here. Praise God. And I trust that the Lord's going to continue to work. We'll keep praying.